Good morning. This is First Lady Kimberly Eaton, and welcome, my friends of MySpace and all around the cyberspace world. We're going to get into the 11 o'clock hour, and the message today is loyalty and provoking love and good work, Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And also join me on my network for ladies in the ministry, or just Christian ladies, or just ladies who want to get to know the Word of God at www.womenofdivinefaith.ning.com. Let's get into the Word.
In Jesus' name, amen and praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. We are so thankful that you made it here in the household of the Lord. And as always, Bethlehem, we're always reminded of this vision. God continues to work as we want to share with 500 people. We want to baptize 75. We want to add 50 new members. And particularly this week, this is the week where we manifest faith. Amen. For this coming Wednesday. Amen. Is when we fast and pray. Amen. And as I said before, we need to take it up a notch. So instead of fasting and praying for 12 hours, I'm asking that you fast and pray for 24 hours. Amen. Now, I want you to be wise in how you do it, because some of you may be taking medicines, and you cannot take those kind of medicines on an empty stomach. Right. So you need to fast and pray from something other than food, maybe television. Don't watch TV for 24 hours. Amen. Hello? Somebody said, well, I'd rather starve. But we want to be wise even as we do spiritual endeavors. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to be fasting and praying this Wednesday. And remember, the fourth Sunday is what? Share the Love Sunday. That means that you invite somebody that you wouldn't normally invite, or that you would. They may be on your top 10 list. You invite them out to come and be a part of our service. And it's Share the Love Sunday. Of course, we wear our t-shirts, so you let them know that it's not going to be an issue of the clothes that you have on.
Amen.
And that's never an issue in the house of the Lord. You come as you are. And don't worry about it. Don't let the preacher's little fancy suit intimidate you. I will tell you how much it costs, but my wife wouldn't like that. But God is not into form or what? Whether you know it or not, this is not a fashion show. Some folk treat church like it's a fashion show. And God is looking down frowning, because the average person from the street, if they come in, they look down at them. That's not of God. So we want you to know in this year, don't matter what you wear. Amen.
Amen.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor, it don't matter what you wear. Come as you are, in Jesus' name. Now, some of us who've been around the church for a long time got to get a hold of that. But anyway, we want you to share the Love Sunday by inviting, and you did an excellent time last month. You did excellent. This place was almost full, wasn't it? Huh? That's because you did your job. Whenever you do your job, God will show up and show out. And sometimes all you have to do is just invite. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to our lesson this morning. This morning, let me show you. Just this button here. Let's see. Get that out of the way. Just this button. We're going to talk about loyalty and provoking love and good works. loyalty and provoking love and good works. This is going to be a two-part series about loyalty to the church. And let's go to the next. This is our scripture for this morning. Would you please stand in reverence for the word of God? Stand saying that I will stand on the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
This text is taken from the King James. And we're going to read it together on three. Three.
And let us consider one another to provoke us to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and encouraging the more, as ye see the day approaching.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. This morning, we're going to see that Christians should be loyal in coming to church. Christians should be loyal. Remember, this is loyalty month.
Yes, all right.
Christians should be loyal in coming to church. Say that to your neighbor. Neighbor,
neighbor.
Come to church. Say to your other neighbor. Neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Come to church.
Come to church.
Every.
Every.
Now, y'all said every. I said every.
Every
Sunday. We're going to have 3 points this morning. And this is why we come to church, because the church is meant to provoke you. It's meant to provoke you. And we want to provoke you in three ways. First of all, we have to provoke you to agape, which is love. We want to provoke you to action. And we want to provoke you to be in attendance. Agape, action, and attendance is why you need to come to church.
Right.
And we'll explain that a little bit more as we go on. But this morning, we want you to know that, what does it say?
Where I hang out
is going to bring out.
Right.
Where I hang out is going to bring out. This reminds me of the story of the chicken and the eagle. The eagle, mother eagle gave birth to the eagle up in the cliffs where eagles nest. And the egg rolled down, all the way down to a chicken pen. And the compassionate chicken, yeah, that's right, chicken. You see the chicken? Yeah. And a compassionate hen took that eagle and raised that eagle as if he were her own.
Right.
So, because the eagle was hanging in the chicken pen, the eagle took on all the behaviors of a chicken. The eagle started to cluck. The eagle started to peck, 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 peck. The eagle did everything like a chicken. Because the eagle was hanging out with the chickens. So because he was hanging out with the chickens, even though he was an eagle, he acted like a chicken. There's somebody here in the household of the Lord. God birthed you to this planet. Regardless of who your mother and daddy is. And some of you, you was birthed in the cliffs, but you fell amongst chickens. And instead of becoming and doing what eagles do, can do, you took on the trace of your chicken family.
Come on now.
is why we come to church, just in case you didn't end up in the right family.
All right.
Just in case you're in difficult times. You come to church for the people of God to provoke you into becoming everything that God wants you to be.
Yeah. All right.
And get this, he doesn't want you to be a chicken.
Amen.
Amen.
You are an eagle. Eagles are not stranded in chicken coops. Eagles get to travel and see the world. Eagles are not limited to the chicken's ability nor sensibilities. They are a much greater bird. And some of you, because you were raised amongst chickens, you think you're a chicken. And where you hang out, it's going to bring out. You see, some of you, let me put it in modern day terms for you. Some of you got to hanging around your buddies and started to drink. And you've been struggling with alcoholism as a result your whole life. You can't do nothing. You can't accomplish nothing because of your addictions and because you're hanging around those chickens. Those brothers that hang out on the street and don't do nothing, don't have a job, and all they do is wake up to drink. And where you hang out, it's going to bring out. Some of you, if you want to find a job, you don't hang around folk who are unemployed. Anything that you want to do, where you hang out, it's going to bring out. I love that MTV series Made. Because some youth get in their head that they want to be something different. And what they will do in order to get them to be something different, they allow them to hang out with somebody that's already doing what they want to become.
All right.
And they hang out and they teach them their expertise. Most of the times, they're professionals.
All right.
See, many of us won't get anywhere because we're hanging around amateurs.
All right. Well.
If you want to do better and be better, you don't hang out with folk like you. You try to hang out with somebody who is where you want to go. If you want to make it to the pros, you're going to have to hang out with the pros. You're going to have to find a pickup game, if it's basketball, where the pros play in all season, and you're going to have to hang out with them, because then you'll see whether you really have the ability or not. Because they have such a high level. So wherever you want to go, you have to hang out there. Amen?
Amen.
So let's get back to provoking you in the church. First of all, if we want our church to grow, we have to be provoking in agape.
Yes, Lord.
All right.
Yes, Lord.
In love. That next one. There's a commandment that God tells us, and this is an evangelistic command. A new command I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. What?
By this all men
will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That was a cough, by the way. I wasn't speaking in tongues. By this you will know that you are disciples if you have love for one another. I, as a pastor, have to provoke you in love.
Yeah.
And the Lord has been dealing with this whole month, talking about, really, about love. And as a result of that, I have to provoke us to go further in and deeper down in our love for one another.
All right.
Further further in and deeper down for our love for one another. They talked about at the women's breakfast yesterday about keys. Do you have the key of love? Did you misplace it? Or did you lose it? Because your very ability to love one another is a witness to those who are in the world. And when church folk can't get along with one another, then God's vision can't be shared with the world, because people will come up in here and say, this church is filled with hypocrites. They can't get along. They can't love one another. Sister so-and-so is looking all crazy at other sister so-and-so. And I, as a pastor, I have to keep it real.
Keep it real.
There's some folk here that don't have love. There's some folk who think they have the key, but they don't have it. There's some folk who think they haven't misplaced the key, but the true reality of what true love is what, how I love my brother. And if I can't get along with my sister, then how in the world, how in the world can I share God's love to somebody else? Bethlehem, it's no more time for religion. We've got to love one another. That's the real of the real. And if you can't get along with your sister or your brother, I'm going to start calling out names like Paul did.
Yes.
Paul called out names.
That's right. Use him, Lord.
He said, sister so-and-so can't get along with sister so-and-so. Y'all need to get along.
That's it, man.
I'm going to start calling out names. Nobody don't want to hear that name from the pulpit for a bad reason, do they? We got to get along with one another. It's the testimony of our witness. Someone once told me today that God wants to do a great work. He wants us to build not for hundreds, but for thousands. If he wants us to build for thousands, then we got to treat the 70 that come to church every Sunday right, every Sunday. He ain't gonna make you stewards of more folk when you can't treat the folk you have right. And God knows what's going on. So I, as a pastor, I'm gonna have to provoke us to love one another. I don't care what your history is. For we learn on Wednesday night that love doesn't keep a record of wrong. And that's why some folk can't get along this Sunday, is because of what happened 2 years Sunday ago. She looked down at me. Looked down her nose at me. She thinks she better than I am.
Yeah, yeah. That was real.
You can't say amen, say ouch.
I put it right.
Are we going to have to, because it's discipleship. They'll know that we are disciples. By love for one another.
That's it.
Huh?
Help us, Lord.
And man, there'll be some Sundays I get up here and I'll be preaching, boy, I think I did something. Get out the pulpit and hear something trite and trivial.
Come on.
What's going on? That's not love.
Right.
We learn on Wednesday night that love is patient. Be patient with your sister.
Yeah.
We learn on Wednesday night not only that love is patient, but love is polite. Be polite to one another.
You're right, man.
Love is not rude. Sometimes we're rude to one another. No, you don't need to be rude to one another. You love one another. Take your neighbor. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. You better love me. Say to your other neighbor. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. You better love me. I heard somebody say, preachers. Okay. Preachers. Oh,
preacher, you better love me. So we have to provoke love. And then after we love one another, we can start provoking good works. You see, buildings don't come until we learn how to treat people right.
Come on now.
Let me say that again. Buildings don't come until we learn how to treat people right. We've got to love one another because God wants us to provoke us to good works. That's the text said. Point number two. Provoking to action, that's something that God wants us to do.
Amen.
And it's my job to provoke us in that, and that's why I'm provoking us in the mission to share the love. I'm provoking. I never forget that we need to share the love. And sometimes if you're here on Wednesday night, sometimes I pray, Lord, persecute us.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can share the love. Because you evidently done blessed us too much. We just forgot why we were here. Lord, persecute us. That we may share the love. That's provoking. Because if you can't share making $100,000, maybe you'll share making $25,000 a year. God calls us to action. We're here to share the love.
Yes, sir.
It's not just a slogan, it's an action.
You're right, man.
Good works.
Good work.
The goodness of the good.
The good work.
We want to provoke you also to be committed to the vision. If we want to build a new church, we got to provoke you into giving to the vision. $1 a day.
Yes,
is that too much? That's easy. Do like Pastor Eton. Don't get a happy meal for 1 week. That's why we provoke you in giving your tithes, because you'll be blessed.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You want to see God. I had two testimonies yesterday about what God does when you give your tithes.
Yes, sir.
My wife shared yesterday and how she learned how to tithe. She said she had on her list 5 things that she wanted, but God was convicting her with her tithes, and she decided to tithe, and somehow God blessed her to get all 5 things that she wanted.
Yes, sir. That's the way it works. That's the way it works.
That's the way God does. I want to provoke you to blessings.
Yes, sir.
Try God.
Yeah.
All of that, I want to provoke this church plant. Many people got it confused and mixed up. That's the devil.
You're right, man.
Church planting is biblical. And God is not calling you out of this place, especially if you got an attitude that you don't want to go nowhere. We're not trying to take people from Bethlehem. We're trying to reach other people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can do great things with one church, if you get 2 started, you meet twice as many people. So don't get it twisted. We're not trying to tear down. That isn't against the vision of what God has here.
That's right.
God is multifaceted. God, for lack of a better illustration, is like my wife. On her computer, if you look at her in her computer, you'll see she have about 8 windows open at the same time. And she have about 4 or 5 Word files open at the same time. And she's working on each one of them, it seems to me, all at one time. And that's what God can do. He can bless over here at Bethlehem. And he can bless over at Ecclesia. Which means called out. If you're not called out from here, you don't need to go. Don't get it twisted. It's not confusing. God can work in two places at one time. Woo! More than two places at one time.
You're right, man.
Huh? He's working at this 11 o'clock hour all over the world at different churches at different places at one time. But it's not taking one thing away from what we're doing here at Bethlehem. And I got to provoke this thing, even though it's causing controversy. No! God wants to do more in Paul's belly. Yes, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Yes, and I got to provoke this thing into existence. Yes, in Jesus' name. I have some other things I can see that God has called me to provoke. Where I get error. When I heard that TJ wanted to, was thinking about starting a camp for children, I started to pray, hey, that's why God put you in places like that,
right,
to use your influence to reach folk that I couldn't reach.
Yes,
they won't show up in the household of the Lord,
all right,
but maybe they'll show up where a Christian man is putting on a Christian camp to be influenced for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So we want to provoke that thing into existence and pray about it and say, Lord, bless this camp.
Yes, sir.
That more folk can get saved.
Yes.
Bless this camp.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Provoking, it's a provoking place, provoking unto good works. You see, Ephesians says what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good works.
Which God has what?
Ordained
that we should what? Walk in them. God has ordained this stuff that we can walk in it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, get to work. That modern theology. Say, neighbor,
neighbor,
oh neighbor, get the stepping. Get the stepping. God wants me to provoke some things into action. The same with Brother Joaquin. God is trying to move in his life, and he wants to be used to reach other people. And you know what I'm doing? I'm provoking that thing into existence.
You, them, Lord.
You may not understand it, but it's my job as a man of God to provoke it into existence. And it may be something different than what you are used to.
Yes, sir.
What you've been a part of.
All right.
He wants me to provoke that thing into existence. We got some baby boys and some baby girls here. They got dreams to be doctors, lawyers, and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's our job to provoke that thing into existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Good works for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Say it with me. In Jesus' name. Get the step in.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We all have good works to do. Every one of us. And I don't know what it is for a lot of us here, but I believe there's some authors in this place. And it's my job to provoke you to get to stepping. Get to writing. You love, oh, I don't know how to write. You have no excuse.
Right.
The pastor has dyslexia, and I've written four books. What an incredible mind you have.
Right.
And you won't allow the Lord to use you? Your mind is better than mine.
All right.
Say to your neighbor again, neighbor!
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor! Oh, neighbor!
Get the step in!
You provoke. That's why we're here. Provoking and saying that you don't have to do what you're doing now.
All right.
There's more to you than what you see right now.
All right.
If you provoke young folk to live holy unto the Lord.
Yes, sir.
All right. The world said, you can't teach them that. They ain't gonna believe that. They can't do that. They can do it.
Yes, sir.
And they will do it.
Yeah.
It's a God thing. It's not your thing. It's outside your mind.
Ooh.
Just say, I don't understand. From now, just say, I don't understand.
Yes.
Take your neighbor, neighbor.
Some things
I don't understand. Take your neighbor,
neighbor.
Even though I don't understand, you go on in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last point. Provoking attendance. It's amazing to see. I learned this at a young preacher. It's that many times God has a word for folk, but they are not here to hear that word. It's amazing to see how folk are stopped from coming to church. And God has a word for you, but you decide not to come that Sunday.
Lord, help.
You decide not to come that Wednesday.
Lord, help.
And it be a word tailor-made for you.
Right.
The stuff that we do here is meant to develop your Christian walk and Christian faith.
Amen.
Pastor Eton's not here for any form or fashion. And as the sister said during Sunday school this morning about the women's breakfast, you notice that there was a storm that morning. And it stopped some folk coming to get that word. God used Sister Karen in a mighty way yesterday. But a lot of folk weren't there to listen to what was said. Don't let anything stop you from coming to the house of the Lord.
Right.
Don't say anything that's normal.
Right.
Okay? Because the truth be known, if there was a storm raining on Monday morning, you'll be at work. All time, yeah, all time. Why do we treat the house of the Lord any differently? God has something for you, and all the devil has to do is say, I know they're allergic to rain. Let me send a little storm.
Help us, real.
That's why we say this is not a fashion show, because most folks don't want to get their nice suit and shoes messed up. Oh, Sunday morning, yeah. Attend church. Attend Wednesday night. Attend brotherhood. Attend what? And again, we know some of you have jobs. We're not talking about you. If there's something that's interfering that you've got to be at, be faithful to the things you can be faithful to.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Because God has something for you.
Yeah.
He has something for you, but you've got to come to church.
Yeah.
That's what the scripture say. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. This is really a rebuke as the manner of some is. He was saying there's some folk that ain't coming to church.
That's what it's saying, man.
And he had to provoke attendance. He said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Don't forsake this point.
Yeah.
Don't forsake this time.
All right.
This is when you hear from God.
Yeah.
And there's normally no other place where you can hear from God.
Yeah, man. Wow.
Now, there are a few good television preachers. There's a few. But for the most part, they trying to get your money.
That's right.
And you sending your tithes out to get a towel
Let's go to Walmart and go get you one. Get you two and start selling them. Go in the tile business. Come on now. Yeah. Send it to me, Bruce. Send it to me. He got to be here to get what God has for us.
That's right.
As much as we can. Amen. The early church met when? On Sunday?
Every day.
House to house every day? Come on, it don't take all that, do it? He said, no hurry. It helps you to grow, because what? Where you hang out, it's going to bring out.
That's right.
You're straddling the fence. That's why you're having problems with your Christian walk.
Come on now. Because
you hang out here on Sunday and say, whoo, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live for Christ. But on Monday, you're hanging out with your dogs, your thugs, with your girls. All in, and they sitting around, yeah, man, let's go get this party. Well, the preacher said I shouldn't be doing that. Oh, man, you just been a holy roller. Man, come on, get your, you know you want this party. So let's make it a cake. Huh? Where you hang out, it's going to bring out. And especially when you're trying to change your life for a difference. If you're in the early stages of trying to make a difference in your life, and you think you can still hang out with the boys and it not affect you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You're going to have to give up your boys for Christ. Give up your girls for Christ. Because where you hang out, it's going to bring out. I told you my testimony. And I was just early in my walk. And I was trying to get right with the Lord. I had some homeboys I'd go hang out with. And when I hung out with them, I'd be cursing like a sailor. And when I hung out with my mother and Christian folk, I wouldn't curse at all.
Huh?
Why is that? Because where you hang out, it's going to bring out. And that's why you never forsake, especially in the early stages of your Christian walk. If you're trying to make a change, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you've been making the same mistakes over and over again, and you've had those folk nagging you or provoking you, say, you need to be in church. Come to church, be in church. And you finally listen. And you got here today and you heard something from the Lord. One Sunday's not going to be it.
Right.
You may need to come out on Monday and hang out with the men as we go visit Reverend Deacon Floyd. Be around godly men. Come back on Wednesday and be around godly men. Come back on Friday. Especially if you're trying to make a change.
Yes.
There's somebody in, at the sound of my voice, I mean, we don't really know what kind of change you trying to make. There's somebody here at the sound of my voice. You try not to go back. You're trying not to take another drink. You're trying not to take another puff. You're trying not to charge another thing. The ladies thought they were going to get away, didn't they? Where you hang out, it's going to bring out.
Yeah.
Shall we pray, Father? We come today, Lord, wanting to provoke some things into existence.
To trust in Jesus.
for some words that you want to get from this church. A multifaceted.
As we're closing today, we want you to reflect on Christians should be loyal in coming to church by being provoked in loving each other by the action of agape, provoking in action and provoking in attendance. We also would like you to know that Jesus Christ would like to provoke you into coming to enter his kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We want you to think today about these three points that we talked about, and we want you to come into God's kingdom and his love. We want you to choose salvation, for salvation is life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. And women, don't forget about the new and upcoming Christian Women Network, Women of Divine Faith, at www.womenofdivinefaith.ning.com. We hope to see you again. Goodbye. Just to rest upon.